Well, hey, good morning. I'm glad you're here today. You know, this is a big day for us. And you know, if you're visiting today, we have been in the Gospel of John, and today we're going to call a little time out on the Gospel of John, and we're going to talk about our church and just kind of the future of our church. So even if you're a guest today, I want you to know it's a good day for you to be here, because you'll get to really hear the heart of what God's doing in the life of our church. And this week was, so get your card out. I want you to, we're going to use that later in our invitation. But you know, this week has been a cool week. Last Sunday through Wednesday, I preached a revival in Ponca City, Oklahoma at a church. And it was really fun preparing it because, you know, as I preached at this church, I used examples from our body, from what's happened among us. And it was a cool story to tell. You know, I got home, and on Thursday or Friday, two IMB missionaries flew in from Europe, and they're with us today. And our IMB is our International Mission Board. If you've not been around us, that we have 3,700 missionaries that are around the world, and two of them are with us this week, and we're helping them make connections with churches in Oklahoma. And you know what I did yesterday? I took these guys around and showed them our church. And I got to say, look, this is what our church is doing. And it was really cool to, you know, drive by our disaster relief trailers and say, you know, we have a team that arrived this morning helping with disaster relief with this hurricane that came through. This morning, we have a team that's there. I went through the mission center. Brennan was leaving in the truck, and he was like, yeah, we're getting peanut butter from the Palm Squad for the mission center. And I walked them through what God is doing in the life of our church. I showed them our Tulsa campus, that this was a church that was about to close its doors. And now it is a bilingual force in that community. Oh my goodness, it was fun. And you know, this morning, we are really coming together to say, hey, let's continue to serve the Lord through this church. And I sent an email out to our core ministry team leaders, and I said, hey, would you kind of pledge early so I can kind of share with our church just what you have done? And I want you to hear this. 42 of our leaders have submitted pledges that exceeds, well, the actual amount is $310,551. 42 of our leaders. Do you know that in our church, on an annual basis, we have 700 individual family units that give to the life of our church? So 42 of them have already committed $310,000. And you know, today we're coming together to say, hey, look, let's take a next step in our church. And when I look ahead, we as a church have committed to a $3.3 million budget a year. And then this next project that we're going to tackle is a renovation of this room and our common spaces. And it's going to make this room more effective, where we can add another service and add another Sunday school. And I'll tell you, this is something that we need to do. And you know, I'm so excited about taking this step. Now, we won't start that project until after Easter, because our staff is making some preparations. We have the opportunity as a church from now until then to save money, because the more money we can stockpile, the less we'll have to finance. And it's about probably about a $3.5 million project is what it looks like. And so we'll tackle this. But when I look at this, I mean, just when I think about just what we can do just as we're going right now, we could probably pay for that in 3 years. But as I look at 42 of our leaders that committed $310,000, you know what I'm praying for is that we tackle this way quicker than 3 years. Now, what I want to do today, as we look at God's Word, I say all the time that we need to allow God's Word to shape the way we think and shape the way we live. And a couple of weeks ago, we're reading through the Bible this year, and I hope that you join us. We're reading through the New Testament. We were in 2 Corinthians, and we read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 just a few weeks ago. And I want us to kind of call time out on the Gospel of John today. We'll jump back into that next week. But I want us to go back to something we read as a church, because in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, well, I want to hover over those two chapters. So if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles there, because we need to allow God to shape the way we think about giving, about what it means to give. And I know, you know, preachers have this reputation, and I'll be honest with you, there might be some famous, like, preachers with hair that are like, have TV ministries, all that stuff, that maybe are manipulative with money. But can I tell you, a vast majority of pastors and preachers that God calls to his church are just called to go, let's serve the Lord in our community. And a vast majority of churches are called to just faithful giving. And God speaks to this. In 2 Corinthians, this is a letter from Paul to the church at Corinth. Corinth was a relatable community to us. It was in Rome. They were a republic. They were affluent. They had a lot of resources, and they needed to learn about giving. And what God did is he provided a really clear picture of what it looks like to give. Now, as we think about this, I want us to just frame it in three areas. I want us to consider the principles of our past, what we can learn about giving in our present, and what giving does in our future. So in our minds today, as we begin to hover over 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, I want us to consider our past, present, and our future. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, and I want us to just consider the heart of stewardship. Because in this passage, you see the heart of stewardship. And that's what giving is. It's stewarding. It's stewardship. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, look at this. He says, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Now, it's important to understand what the this is. The this, he's talking to the Corinthian church about giving. He's challenging them that look, God has a plan with the resources that you steward. And when the New Testament speaks about giving, it's very clear. When the Old Testament speaks about giving, it's very clear. I want us to just consider. I want to consider some of the main topics in the Bible. I would say when you think about the Bible, a lot of people will consider that believe is a main topic in the Bible. But here's what's interesting. That's the fourth most common topic in the Bible. Believe is used 272 times in the Scriptures. That's an important word, believe, right? There's another important word in the Bible, pray. Jesus talked about prayer, and prayer is a discipline, a calling we have to pray. Do you know that that's the third most common topic in the Bible? It's used 371 times, pray. Another main topic in the Bible you'll hear is love, right? You've heard that. Love. We're to love one another. Our vision statement says we're to love all people to Christ. That's a big value for us. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love the Lord. And really important topic in the Bible. It's used 714 times. If you just look at the call to love, huge topic in the Bible. But do you know that the most common topic in the Bible is give? Do you know that? Okay, let's just consider these topics. Believe 272 times, pray 371 times, love 714 times. Give is a topic brought up 2,162 times in the Scriptures. Let's think about that for a minute. I would say, if I'm going to be a faithful pastor to you, If I'm going to be faithful to you week by week, if I overlook the calling we have to give, then I am irresponsible as your pastor. Because if it's brought up 2,162 times, this ought to be something we should consider. So let's consider this concept of giving. The Bible, the response, I believe God leads us to our response in giving. And let's consider what God has done for us in the past. So God-focused giving expresses gratitude for past blessings. If you're taking notes, that'd be a good one to take. God-focused giving. I would say to us as a church, we should be God-focused givers. And that's a clear expression of gratitude for what God has done in your past. And you know, when I think about kingdom giving, because we're to be a part, God invites us into his kingdom. I mean, this past week, I have been living in the Sermon on the Mount, which with this church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, where we were looking at the kingdom of God. And we are called to the kingdom of God. Do you know why? Do you know who planted this church here? God. Do you know why God planted this church here? It's because this community needed this church. Do you know why God is moving through this church here? Through so many incredible ways. I look at what God has done through the Tulsa campus in the last, just since I've been hanging out with you guys. It's not me, it's us. It's God working in front of us. And you know, I'm very aware that it's not great pastors that make great churches. It's great churches that make great pastors. And that's a very true statement. But look, God has moved in front of us, and our giving is an expression of gratitude. Let's just consider 2 Corinthians 8, 7, and 9. Look at it again. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you. So these are things we're to excel in. These are things we should pay attention to, that as we grow up in our faith, as we walk with the Lord, these things should be excelling in our lives. But he also said, look at this, see that you excel in this act of grace also. He's talking about giving. Verse 8, I say this not as a command, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, as though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Now, the truth is, because of what Jesus has done for us, we are so wealthy, and that's not a checkbook statement. We know the grace of God. We have access to the resources of God. So we have unlimited opportunity because of God. Now, when it comes to giving, our giving is an expression of gratitude back to him. This is what the Bible speaks of. Turn over to chapter 9. I want you to see this. In chapter 9, verse 7, it says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And when you see the giving calling in Scripture, it's an expression of gratitude. God, you have given to me. You see so many stories. Matthew 25. That's the end times moment in Matthew 24 and 25. Fascinating to read as we watch our news right now. But in that end time narrative, there's a parable about stewardship, that we are to steward what God is doing in front of us. It's important to pay attention to. And God has moved us. And in many ways, we are stewarding incredibly well. Like, I think about we've spent over $1 million in Tulsa. And it was well worth the expense as a body. We have spent millions of dollars at the Mission Center. and continuing to serve in incredible ways, continuing to innovate. And as I look at what God has done through us, I'll tell you what, it's thrilling to watch what God's going to do next. Because as we steward, as we pray, as God brings people into our lives and we exercise our gifts and abilities, oh my goodness, I can't wait to watch it. And look, today's a day we're making financial commitments. We do this all the time as a church. We do it every year with our church budget. We make a financial commitment that this is what we believe God's going to call us to give for a year. We've made a financial commitment to, hey, steward these buildings that we have, to build new buildings. Because I'll tell you, this next step, phase three, is one of the lowest cost of our next projects. Because we need to build something for students and for children. I mean, you saw today we're having a party at 4:30. I was so pumped to tell our missionaries, hey, you got to come to our party today. Because at 4:30, we're having a party in this room. I think it's in this room. It's somewhere here. I'm going to come. I'll find them. But we're having a party of the children and students who have gotten saved this year. I'm like, you got to come to this. I kept telling them about our church going, I'm so glad you're here. I love this church. Oh, my goodness. I love this place. And I'll tell you, I'm grateful for what God has done. And so it's with joy that I make we got our financial commitment today. And we've thought about it, prayed about it, and we're pumped to give it. I've already done it. It's online. I did it online yesterday. So, but you know, I'm thankful for what God's doing. And giving is an expression of gratitude from our past. Okay, let's keep going. Giving should be reflected in our present. I want to challenge you. I want to ask you, what does giving look like for you? Because God-focused giving is clearly defined in the Scripture. Now, I'm going to give you a quick list, but I want to challenge you to check me. I want to challenge you to check on me. And you should do this every time. Like when anybody gets up and preaches, you ought to check me and make sure I'm biblically accurate. You know what I bragged on you at Ponca City? I was like, yeah, I love having a church that knows the Bible. Because that means when I get up to preach, I got to preach the Bible. And if I don't preach the Bible, y'all are going to go, wait, that's not in there. So check me. But let's just look at what God-focused giving should look like right now. Well, let's hover over 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Number one, it's generously. Generously should mark your giving. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 2 through 4. And what God's doing, Paul's using this Philippian church as an example to the Corinthian church. See, and notice them. But he says, for in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So you see, this is a generous calling. Giving right now should be reflected in your life as generous. That should mark it. Regularly, the second one, regularly. You should give regularly. It's hard to say in English real quick. But look at, now I'm going to flip over. Let's hover over one other verse. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 16. So flip over there, 1 Corinthians 16, 2. It'll be on the screen, but if you want to flip over in your Bible, it's always good to do that if you have it. But 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says about the Corinthian church, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So you see this regular call that we should give regularly. And this is really important. Does your bank account reflect regular giving? The Bible says if you're to look at the maturity of your giving, it should reflect a regular gift. Proportionally, that's a third description. You should give proportionally. That means the amount you give matters. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. Go back to 2 Corinthians 8. I know we're hopping, but 2 Corinthians 8, verses 11 and 12 says, so now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness, notice this, there's always this readiness, and that's important to pay attention to, but so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. So notice in the scriptures, we are to give proportionally from what God has given to us. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And you know, you are to, if you're going to evaluate, are you giving right now biblically, it should be proportional. Fourth description is willingly. You should give willingly. Look at 11 and 12 in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, 11 and 12. So now finish doing it as well. So get again, that your readiness, notice the readiness in desiring it, may be matched. Look at verse 12. It says again, for if the readiness is there, it's acceptable according to what a person has. So when the Bible speaks of giving right now, it should be willing. It should also be sacrificial. This is a mark of giving. According to Scripture, we should sacrificially give. Look at verses 3 through 5, chapter 8. Chapter 8, 3 through 5. Notice this, for they gave according to their means, he's talking about the Philippian church, as I can testify, and notice this, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor, taking part in the relief of the saints. And you know, when I think about the reason why building buildings here and creating spaces for us to grow in our faith, because it's here that we gather together and we preach the word. We share the gospel with every funeral service. Most of our funeral services are either in here or over there in the room next door, depending on the size. And I look at how this room is so important for us to strengthen the saints. Our students use it on Wednesday nights. It's incredible to watch our teenagers in this place. That's proven to me. Our children are over there. We got a next thing to build once we finish this. But I'll tell you, we should give sacrificially. The Bible speaks of this. Number six, voluntarily. You should give voluntarily. This is a mature believer moves to voluntary giving. Look at chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And notice this, for God loves a cheerful giver. And you know what? When it comes to giving, this is a joy. And we had a church council meeting the other day, and James Callison talked about, he's on our finance, he's chairman of our finance team. And he said, when he described his walk with the Lord, he said, when I started giving, that's when my spiritual growth skyrocketed. And then he told me something a long time ago. He said, you know what? I've never met a former giver. Like when you get a taste of giving, it's like the story I told a couple weeks ago with our students when they got a taste of giving. Our teenagers, when I took them on that trip and they got to bless this family that was on a trip, that we were going on a mission trip, and cover a car care. They got a taste of oh my goodness, God used us. And man, I'll tell you, I was running around with these missionaries. And I was like, so thankful to go, man, God used us. God's using us. And I was just like, I kind of can't wait to preach tomorrow, you know, about giving. I know someone's going to be like, oh, man, I visited the church and the preacher talked about giving. Yeah, well, that's okay. I'm pumped to give because I'm looking at what God's doing through this church. I'm pumped that we have a disaster relief team that hit the ground. I talked to a pastor at the IMB. I was at an IMB meeting 2 weeks ago. There's a pastor in East Tennessee, and he was like, man, I've never seen anything like this. And we have a team that is arriving today, and I'm glad. And it's because we've voluntarily given and sacrificed. 7, eagerly. You should give eagerly. And this is something that we are doing, that we were called to do. 2 Corinthians 8, 10 through 11. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. And I want you to notice the eagerness here. You see them going, hey, I can't wait to do this. And I can get it. Because, you know, I one of the things about me, my life has been impacted by so much sudden death. And you're going to hear me talk about that a lot. If you're visiting today, you're going to be like, man, he's kind of heavy with that stuff. I am. But let me tell you something. I also know that I'm going to stand before God. And can I just tell you something? Not one of us will stand before God and go, God, you know what? I really wish I'd have given less to you. I should have given a little less. I promise you, we won't stand before God with that posture. And there's a finish line, and that's why there's an eagerness. We should give eagerly. We should give excellently. I want that to mark my family. I want my grandson, as I looked at that little boy yesterday, and oh, man, he's crawling now. He is so athletic. It's unbelievable. And the way he just, boom, just moves. If I was looking at him, you know what I want that boy to know? Man, my poppy, he's serious about meeting the Lord and giving to the Lord. I want that boy to learn that from me. We give excellently, strategically. We should give strategically. 2 Corinthians 9, 12 through 15. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all the others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. There's strategic giving. And this is why I think this next step is strategic for us, to help us move forward for a future. I'm excited about the strategic nature of what we're giving to right now. And I'm excited about the strategic next step that we'll take for children and for students. And it's a reminder to me that we have to manage all that God has given to us. And I pray we manage it well. We should give strategically. We should also give wisely. And this is something I feel the pressure on as your pastor. And you want me to feel the pressure of this. Because notice this, when 2 Corinthians 8, 18 through 21. With him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us. And we carry this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself to show our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. If you know me, I've been really conservative financially as your pastor. I've been really conservative. And that posture is the same, because, you know, I want to take strategic steps, but I also want to take faithful steps. And I read this, and it's like, look, I want to be honorable in the sight of God and the sight of man. And this is why I believe that we are to work together, to come together. You know what Brennan told me? Brennan called me this weekend and said, I had two messages. One family that was given a good amount, like a really good amount. And then there was a teenager that said, I'm going to give $10 a month. Heard about we were making pledges, already signed it out and filled it out. And you know that God sees both of those and honors them the same. My challenge to you is that we all give to this. And it's not just about finishing a room and common spaces that we'll love and we'll use the dog out of. But it's about coming together and watching God work among us. Watching God work in front of us. We should give wisely. Now, I want you to know, and I got to wrap it up today. But when I look at these 10 things, this is what it should look like for us right now as we give. And the Bible speaks so clearly about this. And I feel the weight of pastoring well and faithfully and being a faithful pastor to you. And look, this is what it looks like. This is what we should look like right now as givers. God's giving should reflect gratitude for our past. This is what it should look like right now today as we grow up in our faith. But can I tell you that God-focused giving allows us to enlarge expectations for tomorrow? And I'm not talking about some wacky health, wealth, and prosperity thing. And I'm not saying, oh, we're just going to give to God because, man, I want to get some car, new car, or something like that. It's fine to have a car if you can afford it. It's great. A new car. But look, God-focused giving really does produce results, folks. It produces results in your life, and they're bigger than you think. Like, I was driving around with these guys. And I'm like, man, describing what I've seen in the impact of our ministries here. And I was kind of like, wow, this is a cool church. We've experienced this. But you know what I also feel? God, you hadn't come back yet. And we're one of those churches that we're grateful for our past, but we better not live there, right? You don't live in your past. We look ahead at what God's doing next. And you know what? In Galatians, he talks about you reap what you sow. Right here in 2 Corinthians, it's talking about we reap in proportion to what we sow. Giving shows our faith. So now, I've asked us to come today. And maybe you didn't get the message. That's okay. I want you to take this card out. Because this card is a description of our next steps. And what it says is, hey, I'm going to bring an offering today. I would challenge all of us today to at least give something. I mean, if you're a member of this church, if this is your church home, like, you ought to give something to this church. You ought to start giving to this church, whether it's something. Because you know what? There's a reason this church is the primary target of our giving. For Robin and I, it's not our only target, but it's the primary target. Because it's the local church that will never fail. The gates of hell will not prevail against the local church. And that's why, man, it's with joy, man, we give to this church. And it's our primary target. So my challenge to you, if you're not giving anything, because here's the thing, we have 702 regular givers in the life of our church. But we have more than that come. We have more family units that come to our church. There's actually over like 3,000 that would call this their church home. And so, look, I think many of us, some of us in this room, we are giving at the right level. You're giving in a way that you're like ready to meet the Lord right now. Some of us aren't. But it's time to start. And so, what could your offering be today? Let me tell you something. God doesn't need your money. But when you start giving, you start growing spiritually. What could your pledge be for this year? What could you give to the next steps? What if we watch God at the end of this year? What if we get to the financing of this project and we're like, oh man, we don't need to do this? What if we got to experience the Chronicles experience of, hey, you guys, we need to stop giving money to the church? You know that happened once among the people of God? The leader said, hey, would you all stop giving money? That seems like unbelievable to me, but God's people experienced that. And so, what if we watch God do this not in 3 years? What if we just did this and then we started faster on a youth and children's area? I mean, look, God's able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. So we're going to start practicing something in our church. We need to move better in an invitation. I love our church, and we move in good ways, but in an invitation. So we're going to practice today. And I want you, our band's going to come and sing. And then James Callison is with us. He was in Sunday school, and he's come into this room. I've asked him to pray over us here and close out our service in prayer. But I want us to move into a time of response to God. Joe's going to sing, and we're going to stand. And I want to challenge you to, as an act of, whether it's whatever you're going to give today, or whatever you're going to pledge, if you would, we have two boxes right here. And I want to move us. I want to challenge us to move as a statement. God, I'm going to move, and here's what I'm given today. And I'll tell you, you know what? A movement like that is important because it helps us put feet to our faith. And I'll tell you, I don't want to meet the Lord not putting feet to my faith. I love you. I love being your pastor. I love what God's doing in this church. And I look forward to what God's going to keep doing in this church. So when you're ready, Rob and I are ready now. We're going to go first, okay? But when you're ready, I want to challenge us to come and just make a commitment. And then we're going to join together in prayer. And we're going to hold hands across the aisle. You can get hand sanitizer later. And we're going to have a unified prayer together. And you know how I want to live my life? You know how I want to pastor this church? Saying, Lord, here we are. Send us. Send us.